We never left. We've been sitting here for the last 3 days. Jesus, we're drunk.
Oh, dear.
I probably should have showered. It's the Bulls Podcast After Dark. We're just toasting us.
Those adult diapers are really good.
We're fucking we're proud of our After Dark episode 120, 2017 Unwrapped special. That was about as good a show as we can do, and it was about as good a production as I can do because I don't know how to fucking do production, and I stitched it all together and came up pretty well. And Beezan, you want to talk about what happened when you tweeted various bands that were involved in, which I recall saying maybe we shouldn't do that because then we'll get a copyright violation notification when they find out we've used all their tracks. Well, but no, you hung a tweet that basically tagged a lot of the bands who finished up the pointy end. And what happened when you woke up this morning and checked your mentions?
Well, the opposite, because rather than take our fucking music off your chintzy little podcast.
Pissant, washed fucking Generation X dickheads.
Abdominal from our consensus number one said, hey boys.
Spoilers, folks. I assume you've listened to this.
If you've listened to this, surely you've listened to last week's show. Said, hey boys, haven't got the time to record you a theme song, but you know, I'll go with your suggestion, which was an hour into the podcast. Just steal one of our existing tracks.
Take one of ours. And also very honored to be your number one.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no way you could know that unless you listen to the whole fucking podcast.
And like I said to my wife, it wasn't a particularly hip-hop heavy podcast, particularly up to that point, because, you know, Dizzy was probably the only hip hop mentioned, and it's not really hip hop. It's grime. It's like a, you know, it's like an offshoot.
No, it's grime. Grime's hip hop.
It's hip hop. It's a family member. Beats. Yeah. Yeah. Hip-hop's so I was fully impressed that Abdominal listened to an hour of our end of the year podcast.
I can't imagine Abdominal has people to listen to things for him.
So no,
absolutely. That's amazing and remarkable.
When he's rapping about having to answer emails himself. So.
Yeah. Who's got time to listen to our podcast? Answer your fucking emails, bro. You got fucking invoices to send. I know that life. You don't want it. You don't want that fucking, you don't want that smoke. You don't want that shit. But that was, it was like, I said, we were DMing this morning. I was like, we could retire now. That's basically the highest point we'll ever reach is the number one act that we picked for the year, tweeting us and saying, yep, cool, thanks. By the way, take our fucking songs, make it your intro.
I think the fact it just reinforces what we said about those guys is that they're so laid back and so cool.
Well, we can talk about the fact that I asked Beezo because I was trying to come up with a visual concept for the cover art for the thing. I said, you got any ideas? And your first idea was Abdominal, but wearing the same old man hat that we both own. Because there was see if we can dig it out for the show notes, but there was a tweet by someone who said, basically took a photo of it like a sort of a flat cap and said, if you own this cap, you're getting really,
you're
really
washed
into craft beer and various other washed things. And you tweeted that and said, my God, you know, it's I feel very owned. I feel very seen right now, or words to that effect. And I responded to you via DM with a photo of that exact cap on my desk because I'd worn that day.
Dear. Yes. Look, this podcast...
I've got to keep the sun off, man.
This podcast is nothing if not self-aware, so...
They won't let me wear snapbacks to work. And it's not really a look they want me to work with.
So, should we talk about what we're doing tonight?
Well, no, I think... Well, let's talk a little bit about the... is there anything else you want to talk about with the backstory to the best of? Any feedback you've got? I do want to talk about the fact how upset at the drive-thru got with us pointing out their impossible hypocrisy, picking an album they'd listened to for two days and then picking it as the album of the year. Mm. It was good that they didn't get like red, maddened on the lines. Because it's never good to get red, mad, and nude on the lines. But,
they did drop some serious heat towards me halfway through their epic 3-hour podcast about...
Because I'm nice. Because I have to share a country with these people. I don't have to share an island, but I have to share a country with them. And I wish them all the best. And I thoroughly enjoy their podcast.
Really,
when they talk about Trump, which is one thing I try to avoid hearing about.
Is the North Island really New Zealand, though?
Well, there's a reason they call this part the mainland. I mean, I was on the North Island over summer, and they have lovely bits. I'm interested in their bits. I enjoyed their bits thoroughly. But a lot of it's about, you know, the British trying to put up flagpoles and the Maori cutting them down sort of shit, which was quite interesting to revisit in light of the other approach to colonialism that the British were rolling out in Australia at the time. Happy Australia Day. Anyway, we're going to have to edit this part because I've lost my train of thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you have a point you were working towards?
The British are cunts. That's basically the point I was working towards.
Sure.
Anybody who says, no, the French would have been just as bad. Yeah, but their women are hotter, so it would have turned out better.
I am keen to talk about this mixtape, actually. I don't know whether I've... It's a strange thing because, like, Vanessa and I were talking about this on the way home today.
You've been working on this for 6 months.
I've been working on this for 6 months, but Vanessa actually...
I mean, I have too, but
not in a playlist.
And I will talk about the fact that physically starting to lay songs out and move them around changes the fucking game.
So Vanessa used to do, like, a summary mix CD for her parents every year. Sort of like a prototype of this podcast, actually, because her parents were like, you know... We're older and we don't listen to Triple J and we don't listen to much new music. So, you know.
Happy one day of Triple J you listen to, Generation X. That's coming up tomorrow, which will be 3 days ago by the time you hear this.
So she used to do like a mixtape of what we'd been listening to that year. And obviously, you know, probably we wouldn't have dropped much Skepta and AB Original in there, you know, would have gone light on the swearing, but it was sort of like here's some interesting stuff that we've been listening to. And Vanessa was sort of saying, you know, she actually misses that process of going through the year's music and picking out the bits that she really liked and putting them onto a list, you know, essentially making a list.
The curation element of it is really cool. And I have to admit that I was thinking about this in respect of when I was listening to at the drive-thrus pod. They were talking about predominantly using Spotify as a sort of a curation of singles playlist kind of thing, which is not a way that I use Spotify. I mean, I still use Spotify as a predominantly to look at albums, just because A, that's the format of the podcast, but B, that tends to be what I gravitate towards. But the fact that you can make, you've got absolutely unlimited and endless ability to make playlists is both immensely freeing and also very intimidating, because literally you can make a podcast, you're not limited by the stuff that's in your collection. You can literally make any podcast on any playlist on any theme. And it can actually be something that worries you to start with. You're kind of going, this is a bit too big. I don't even know where to start with this.
So I sort of threw, like, originally the reason I wanted to make this mixtape was because...
You had a really fine mixtape and you wanted to share it.
No, there was a couple of songs where... there was a couple of songs where I really liked... I thought there was just this killer song, but I wasn't interested in the album in terms of... picking it as a classic or picking it as a new album. I just thought the songs were just such good songs that I really wanted to talk about them on this podcast. And that's sort of what led me into the mixtape. So those, and there's three songs that sort of signpost the start, the beginning, and the end of this mixtape that filled that criteria. And they
so
really defined...
Before we get into that,
yeah.
the thing that we're most interested to hear, and I think, is this interesting story isn't necessarily the mixtape itself, because that's an end. That's a thing that you can take and you can listen to and you can share it on the internet now, and everyone can listen to your mixtape. But the interesting part is the journey that you went through to develop it, and the value judgments you had to make in order to decide that was the way. That's the stuff that I'm really interested in. Because having made shitloads of these over the course of many years, that's how and why people value certain elements. You know, is it, you know, is it you just picking your favorite songs? I mean, how much does the flow matter? How much does the genre balance matter? How much does not repeating certain types of artists? How do you sequence it? How do you get that? So it's not all just a cluster of loud shit and then a cluster of soft shit. How do you sort of work all that through? How do you cut it to fit the space? Because that was kind of the biggest challenge, was that we're talking CDR, we're talking 80 minutes.
Well,
and that's tight.
I actually came in under.
Well, you have to come in under 80 minutes. Otherwise you can't fit it on CDR.
Like well under. I came in at 66 minutes.
Oh, fuck. I was 79 on the... and the problem is that Spotify doesn't give you a readout, but I knew I was under, so it's going to fit. It's going to burn. That's all I'm worried about. Because how many times have you tried to burn a CD and it's fucked
up? Yeah, that's right. It's gone.
It's added 2 seconds gap between everything and suddenly
well,
it's over 80 minutes.
Actually. Yeah, I need to add 15 seconds to my podcast, to my mixtape.
Actually, that's a bit annoying because Spotify
doesn't do silence.
It doesn't do seamless editing. Doesn't do zero second gaps, and that would thoroughly improve, I think, my mixtape. There's one transition that really irritates me because it's kind of a yep, it doesn't really work.
Oh, you can add silence to your playlist. That's interesting. I'll be doing that. Anyway, we'll get into
it. Silence. I want to take out the gap entirely, so it's just a seamless.
Yeah. No. I think you can do that.
You can do crossfading, but that's not the same. It's because it's literally the latency when it starts. It stops. It plays the first track, and then it starts looking for the next track. It actually has to ask the internet, "Can you play me the next track?" And even on Fiverr, that's not seamless.
So I really enjoyed the process, and because I had those original three songs that I wanted to, that was sort of my signpost that I had to include into this playlist.
They were kind of your fucking thumbnails, your bookmarks.
Yeah, so that's what I started with, and that sort of really, I guess what I'm trying to say is this is not my favorite 20 songs or whatever songs. It might have started out at that,
but it evolves into something slightly different as you continue.
Yeah.
So how many songs have made your mixtape?
Oh, I'm just counting them now. 1, 2, 3.
Because there is no way I would burn a CD mixtape that was 66 minutes. There would always be another three songs I could fit on it to put it up to 79.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of my overarching... I cannot not put music on if there's room for it.
This just had this flow to it that I didn't start out to do it this way, but it's just that's the way it's come. It's 17 tracks.
Did you manually sequence?
Yeah. Absolutely, yep. Yep, I started adding certain tracks and it had a life of its own, this thing. It just sort of...
So you didn't add manually sequence, you just added them, and that was the order they came in.
No. Like, I added the songs in, and then I was like, oh, well, I've sort of got these songs, and I've got these songs, and this flows into this, and yeah, I don't know.
Did you go like with like, or did you tend to try and split up? Did you have, like, little ecosystems of clusters of tracks that were kind of similar and then sort of moved into a different section? A little bit like going through a fucking museum where you went through the, you know... going to the zoo and you go through the subtropical section and you go through the desert section and so forth.
Yep.
This is a bad analogy, but I'm going
to
run with it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. There's to steal a term from classical music, there's movements. You know, you're like, you have a...
So you're saying it's shit.
yeah, you call it what you want. All right, shall we get into it? Who's gonna?
Tell me about your. No, we're talking about yours. We haven't actually talked about one at all, so we'll talk about yours. Tell me about your mixtape. What was the Did it ever start as being, I'm just going to pick my favourite tracks in the world, or was it always, I'm going to style it after these three tracks?
No.
Do you want to share with us what those three tracks are that are the cornerstones, if you like?
Yeah, I will. But I'll start with track one, and because the whole
track one's fucking important.
It is important, and this is a little bit unusual. This is not a track that I would normally pick for track one, but when...
So what would you normally pick as a track one? Something with a slow building intro?
I like to go a banger. I like to drop it and feel
like
I'm...
You like to set the table.
Yeah, but...
This is in my wheelhouse, because that's pretty much what I did with mine.
The reason I got into this whole mixtape idea originally was... Our au pair, Sana, and I, she has very different taste in music than me. She likes pop, like upbeat.
Like proper
She
plastic.
Yep.
Like plastic cheese pop.
Like dancey pop. So, you know, and so we were trying to, we were going to have this night where we were going to have a bit of a party and get drunk together. And so we're trying to build a playlist that bridged the gap, I guess. And I'm like, okay, well, play me sort of some of the music that you like. And she was playing me lots of this just abysmal high-end, like, and in terms of high-end, like, real treble-heavy, no bass, really fast pop music. And I just wasn't enjoying it. And then she started playing me some Beyoncé. And, Beyoncé is not... It's just one of those artists that are just too big for me to really... get into. It's sort of like, you're just too popular. I'm not
more of a pop culture.
Yeah, that's right. Like Tay Tay, which I have actually tried to listen to a fair bit of Taylor Swift, and I sort of have held my opinion. But she started playing me some of these Beyonce songs. And I was like,
Beyonce and Taylor Swift. I mean,
worlds apart. Worlds apart. Like. Yeah. Beyonce is...
Tay-Tay is a washed country artist who's happened to find some space.
Beyonce is on a different level to all of her contemporaries. And
I'll agree with that.
The more I listen to her, the more I think that she is just like... She has taken that medium and she is stretching it as far as she can.
I'm going to go one step further. She's better at what she does in her field than her husband is in his field.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Eat shit, New York. I just dissed your boy.
So,
hove my ass.
The song I'm opening with is Partition by Beyonce, and the reason I love this song is the bass. There's just this booming bottom end to this song, and it's actually...
If you expect me to go through and fucking... soundtrack this I'm done that last week.
I will do it this week because I think it's so effective, but because to really understand it you've got to feel, and the fact is
what we'll do, folks, is that I actually built my mixtape on the Balls Podcast Twitter or a Spotify account rather than my personal one, so it was easier to share, so you can find mine and you can find Bezos. And we'll make sure they're there, and you just have to, and you will get Bezos' playlist, or my playlist, depending on which one you press play on. That'll probably save you a shitload of production.
Partition is actually two songs, so like, if you watch the videos, it's sort of...
It's partitioned, literally.
But the bass and the
$10 word for cutting in half.
The way that she uses the flow and the mood of the song is just not something that I would expect from pop music, and it really opened my eyes, and I got into a lot more Beyonce than I ever thought I would have. So that's what I'm gonna kick off with, and because I kicked off with that, it's a real dancey, like an artist I like to dance to.
Dance isn't a euphemism, folks. You just dance.
Yeah, it's sort of...
He's got three young kids. He's dancing is all he's doing.
Move uncoordinated. So
dancing
I go...
Dancing and
I ended up with like a little sort of
cluster
of dance songs at the song. So then I'm following that up with Time by Jungle and Speak of the Devil by Hermitude. So they're all sort of real dancey songs to flow into the start of the album, I guess, at the start of the mixtape. Jungle,
the high NRG beginning.
Yeah, Jungle's a real sort of old school disco-y sort of band, but they're in the Groove Armada vein. Ace McWicketall has seen them live. He said they're very like Groove Armada in the fact that they write all their music on laptops, but then they tour this huge fucking, you know, 8 or 9 piece band that's just kick ass live. You know, that they sort of appreciate the music enough that they reproduce it properly. Hermitude just write bangers, and I wish they'd write more of them. When they wrote a good song,
they wrote bangers, and then there was the albums that we reviewed, and there weren't a lot of bangers.
I think they sort of played to what they thought people wanted a bit too much.
Yeah.
It's
a bit like the Royal Blood story.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just went for that fucking. They kind of, you know, the power ballad sell. Let's go for that. You know, in Hermitude's case, the kind of popcorn, the sugary pop works much better. Let's do that.
So, Hermitude is sort of like a dance band that doubles in hip hop, and sort of that lets me.
So, how far through the album are we? We're kind of 3 tracks in.
Yeah, three. We've had 3 sort of, you know, upbeat, dancey tracks to start off with. And we cross over into a very danceable hip-hop classic, which is Ugly Duckling's A Little Samba, which is a...
So this is a transition space. This is an important...
Yeah, we're crossing over into the hip, you know, but it's still a very upbeat... Like, Speak of the Devil into A Little Samba is a real sort of... it's a change of feel, but very similar... tempos, I guess. You know, they're both real upbeat sort of songs, but, you know, one's in more a dance style and one's more a hip-hop style. A Little Samba was the first introduction I got into that West Coast hip-hop. I got this as a single from a record store guy. He said, oh, I think you'll... you know, I bought a couple of vinyls off him. He's like, I think you'll like this single. Have a listen to this. And I've been hooked on Ugly Duckling ever since. And I've listened to this song.
My 2015 Undiscovered Classic that Bezo played us the first year we did the podcast. The good album.
Journey to Anywhere.
That's off Journey to Anywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I've listened to this song 100,000 times, and I just never, ever get sick of it. It just has... And this is another thing that I find with a lot of these songs is they just have great staying power. You can listen to them... A lot of those mixtapes you used to make for a summer, and then you go back and stick them in the CD player in your car, and you go, oh man, I'm sick of that song. And then there'd be other songs you go, oh, look, that's still just a fucking cracking song. You know, some mixtape songs have staying power and some don't.
Yes, I'll come back to that point later.
So then I stick with the hip-hop theme, and we run into a little bit more downbeat, but... you know, instead of dancing, I'm sitting in the corner just sort of nodding my head, you know, to the beat. And that's Refizzler by Resin Dogs, Work by Gangstar, and a song called Long Live the Chief by Jidenna. I can never fucking pronounce his name right. Which is the other sort of tentpole one that I had, which was... it was a song he wrote for a Marvel superhero show on Netflix. And it was used to sort of illustrate this gang boss sort of taking over a neighborhood. And it's just... the way it's performed and the beat and the lyrics and everything, it's just a fucking compelling song. It's a really, really good song. Unfortunately, everything else he does is just rancid R&B... shit.
I think you've talked about this before, haven't you?
It just drives me nuts, man. If he could do an album of this stuff,
what compelled you to do this one good thing?
Yeah,
it's not,
like,
why don't you make more stuff like that? It was like, how did you make the thing that was good, given that all you make is shit?
He performed,
which
like
is kind of the story of how we turned up with Well, After Dark 120, but we'll talk, we'll move on from that.
He did a set at the All-Star Game last year. Like, he is a big deal in the US, but it's just like, dude, just do more of this. This is fucking awesome. Like, you're obviously really fucking good at it. Why don't you do more of this? And I love this song. It's just, it's got a flow and a tempo to it. It's very arrogant. It's a real American fuck. It is a fuck how good am I American hip hop song.
It's a Run the Jewels style.
Yeah, like it's like literally
it's
him.
It's like that song they did with DJ Shadow last year.
It's literally him. Him cupping,
which I did consider for my mixtape, but I just couldn't fit it in.
Him cupping his balls and going, fucking, you know, cop a piece of this.
Picture this, I'm a bag of dicks, bring me to your lips. That's basically how that runs.
So anyway, it has a real a sharp ending. And so I use that sharp ending to pivot into something completely different, which is the third of my four sort of tent pole songs, and that's
So you've had like the two seasons. You've had dance into hip hop into
Buy Me a Pony by Spiderbait, which I think is one of the most. And look,
I should have fitted that in somehow. How did I not fit that in?
I think it is about as perfect a rock song as you can write. Like Vanessa and I were talking about this on the way home. This song is.
Oh, I'm so disappointed in myself. I had Run. They did a cover of the Goodies Run, and I had that in an early draft of mine. And it got cut, and I didn't think of Buy Me a Pony. But it is such a fucking perfect pop rock, grunge, thrash, indie thing. It is perfect. It tells a story. It gets the fuck out of there. That's at 49. Good night.
It compresses a whole fucking career in the music industry into a minute 46. And that's why
we pause for you to bring the vocal up so we can hear.
But the thing is,
don't you wanna be a personality?
You can use it as a pivot song because it's so smack you in the face, like. There's no intro. There's no outro. It just is like, bang. There is not a moment, a wasted note of this song. It is. I challenge any band to write a better song than this. It's just it's such a fucking good song.
I'm angry now. I'm gonna try and see if I can. If I had like another 5 minutes, I would find a way to crowbar in Buy Me a Pony. No, that's a miss on my part.
So we're into a bit more. It's not
is this
right.
Is this the Triple J space? Is this the Australian indie department?
Yeah, Australian indies. Oh well, it's a very small space, but Australian indie because we're the next song is Deeper Water by Paul Kelly, which
so
is
how
a,
far are we? How far are we into the mixtape?
Oh, we're well over halfway. And the fact that this is the other
these, are these long songs that you
no
tend to go
like.
With?
Up until now, like considering Beyonce, Beyonce is two songs within one song because that's just the way that it is on the album. Like it's
right.
Five.
See, I never would have picked two. I mean, picking two songs by the same artist was
no, but
ways,
it's
like,
no, it's one. If you go to the album, if you bought the album, it's one song. Partition is a song, but it is two.
It needs to be partitioned.
Yeah, so but it's 5 minutes, but it's two songs. But everything else up
see,
to this
point.
See,
if we were doing this in the C90 days, we would just stop recording.
We would write it in as two songs, you know.
Or we would just not. We'd just cut it in half.
So up until this point is the longest song is 3.5 minutes. So you know, I've really been banging them out. So Deeper Water is like it's a
that's
form.
Long as shit.
That's 4 minutes. 3.5 minutes, yeah. Deeper Water, I can't listen to this without tearing up a little bit. It's just, I think it really.
Is this
No, Paul Kelly.
I'm thinking of a different song.
Yeah, it's just one of those songs that I think highlights.
I'm heading out for the world, which deeper. Who did that one?
Paul Kelly's like his ability to I don't know, bring out feelings in people. So anyway, now I want to try and I like to chill out a bit. I like a little bit of I like a bit of the mixtape where I start to bring things down a little bit. So I'm gonna go into
smoke.
Yes, possibly. Dead I'm gonna go into Mutilated Lips by Ween.
Hang on, can you wind that back? When did Paul Kelly do Deeper Water?
Oh, 80s, I think. It's an 80s song. It's a pretty old song.
I'm interested to know whether Dead Star's version, it's the version I'm much more familiar with from 99, was a cover. Because the version I'm much more familiar with is the same song? No, it's not the same song because it wasn't written by them. It was just a different song entirely.
Yep.
Move on, as we were.
Yeah, so I'm going to start bringing it down a little bit into a bit, you know, a bit more chilled space.
This
I'm
is where you spiral into a massive depression after drinking heavily. And
so I'm going to go Mutilated Lips by Ween, which I just find...
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, again, it's a flow thing. I'm always... fascinated by.
Find me a band who have had a more eclectic back catalog than Ween.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mr. Richard Smoker.
And then we go into New Zealand's favourite cafe band, Fat Freddy's Drop, and Roadie.
Roadie?
Yep.
Fucking Wandering Isle, get to fuck, son.
No, I like Roadie. I just. I don't know, it's just...
It's did that Roadie have Carol Hirschfeld in the film clip? I don't think so. And da-da-da-da-da is the McDonald's thing. what you're really saying is that you really do want shitty fucking burgers. Despite your claims that were made off camera that we can't forget.
And then I'm going to go with a song that is included on a lot of... mixtapes in terms of film soundtracks. This song I reckon would be on film soundtracks more than just about any other song, and that's Massive Attack's Angel. And it's just that I just love that that sort of deep beat to it, that sort of that the way it builds at the start. I never get sick of that.
So you've dug a huge hole to put your listeners in.
Yeah.
Do you get them out?
Not really, but
you
know,
leave them in the hole.
You know me. I love a bit of sex music, so I can't go past.
So you basically, this is a seduction record for you. You get your partner so depressed that the only out is to have sex with you.
That's right. Get some endorphins.
This is abusive. This is flat out abusive.
So I'm going. We're going back to.
Fucking Mike Patton gurning.
We're going back to Lavage and
Mike
sex.
Patton gurning. Every Mike Patton project is a Mike Patton project.
Sex Ima with Mike Patton and Jennifer Charles and I just love that song. It's
our first classic album is
that's what sort of kicked it off. And then you know, after the sex, I just like to chill. I just want to sort of really chill out. So I'm going to go...
Detachable penis, isn't it?
I'm going to go Distant Shore by Ozzy Battler, which I just find most...
Shout out to the man, former host of the show.
I find the most soothing, laid back... If you actually listen to the lyrics, it's probably not the most laid-back song, but it's just got this sort of almost like the ocean. It's just that constant, the waves just crashing in, but it's just goes on and on and has that flow. And then the last.
Royal Colonial's a good album to listen to on the Australian show.
Absolutely. And my last tempole one, which is another song that I think is the absolute. Just an embodiment of a perfect song is Nancy Sinatra's Bang Bang, My Baby Shot Me Down. And that's what I would call my finishing song. I just want to talk about that song for a little bit. It's a real simple little song. Like, there's not much to it. It's like, you know, some steel guitar and her voice. But fuck, it is well written and just well performed. It's just so sparse. And it's almost like the space in between in her voice and those little pauses that just make it such a compelling song. But when I used to do a mixtape, I used to love the hidden track, you know, 15 seconds of silence and you're fumbling around to change the CD in the car because you think that you know, it's all finished.
Oh, well, take 2 minutes of that, to be honest, because you're driving along the M1, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, so, you know, you and then all of a sudden you have that one last track, which just sort of pops out at you and you're like, oh, fuck, there's another track. And mine for this one is Funkor's Mad As Hell, because I just think...
It's what the fuck are you doing not having your man trials on? This is embarrassing.
I just think that it is the perfect track to have as a hidden track, because it's like, you think it's over, it's all chilled out, it's all finished.
Well, you've also slit your wrist because Nancy Sinatra has been singing to you and you get shot.
And then this pops out of you. I was literally thinking how much this would make me laugh if I had this on a mixtape and it popped out as the hidden track. I think it's the perfect hidden track for a mixtape. So, and that's mine. That's it. I'm done.
We're done. All done. So, you thought a lot about genre balance. You thought a lot about flow.
Mate, can you just give me a call when you're done?
What would you have done if you had more time? What didn't make the list that was just like a... What were the last cuts?
No, this is the thing, right? Like, there was a whole heap of stuff that
so
I...
You see that you've put in... You've thought about a 66-minute piece of art, haven't you? You haven't actually thought about making... It's not about getting your music taste out to people. Like in the terms of a mixtape, in the context of how mixtapes were used to break new artists to, like in the hip-hop community in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
It was about get as many artists on there as you can. But you have actually curated a piece of art that is the length it needs to be, not... the maximum length of the thing.
No,
that's actually rather that I respect that.
I think this is the way that Vanessa and I, well, the way I used to do mixtapes with people. It was almost like
when you made mixtapes to get some.
Not even to get some, but like I used to make mixtapes for people, and it's like, okay, well, what
do you
like it was? Yeah, it was almost like it had a purpose. So it was like, okay, well. You know, you're into this type of music, so I'm going to put 4 tracks of that on. But then I think I should take you here, and I want to take you there. Like, I don't know. I always used to try and build a mixtape in a certain particular way. I didn't just try and cram all the songs on that I wanted to listen to. And even when Vanessa used to build the mixtapes for her parents or for her friends, I used to always try and reorganize the track listing so it sort of had a flow to it. I don't know. I really felt like a mixtape should have a flow.
You paid for the full 79 minutes and 59 seconds. You haven't used that shit. Otherwise, you haven't got your $1.79 out of it. You cheap bastard.
Mate, CDs are a dime a dozen. You can get them anywhere.
They are now. They weren't then. Nothing was then.
All right. So how did you go about building your mixtape?
We'll be back with my mixtape after this short message. Oh God, that's got more head than Bert Newton.
Oh, I had a beautiful coffee dark stout homebrew today at this barbecue. You would have loved it. Fuck, it was nice.
I'm not as big on the darks as I used to be. The old man loves a black beer, but I'm just
this. This
in
was
fact,
not heavy though. It do you like coffee? Do you like?
Yeah, but I like coffee and I like beer, but I don't like coffee flavored beer. I like sex and I like cheeseburgers, but I don't like having sex with cheeseburgers.
This was like a blend between cold drip coffee and a stout. It was
fucking
beautiful.
That's a common thing that people try, but I've never had it in a way that was successful, because it's like stouts. Are not meant to be Yeah, it's just not a thing that works for me. We the old man's favourite beer is a his favourite beer in the world, as it turns out, is a Schwarzbier, a black beer from an Auckland craft beer brewery called Hallertau. And when we were coming back from Northland, we happened to be driving around that area. So I said, well, why don't we stop in? And we actually stopped in and got dinner and then got a whole bunch of takeaways and brought them back. And that was his, like, Christmas present was a whole lot of the Hallertau Schwarzbier. It is a good beer, but you can also get it from the local supermarket. So I don't know why we bothered. We could have just got it from Countdown down the fucking road.
Anyway, all right.
It's a bit better if you can. It's a bit fresher if you get it from the brewery, I suppose.
True. All right. Lay it on me, Doc. Lay it on me.
We'll be doing an edit cut point back into mixtape. We're doing the mixtape special, folks. And it's my time to shine, folks. So Bezo talked about the fact that he and his other half used to curate, and I'd use that word advisedly, mixtapes. And it was much more important about the flow and the message than the content. For me, I think I was always waiting to get the ability to make playlists. And I think my mixtapes are more playlists. I think that's probably fairer to say. Playlists that were longer than the space available, because I was constantly running out of space. I was constantly finding more songs than I could fit on a CDR or a C90, and I was constantly having to make compromises. Like, can I just find a shorter song by the same artist so I can fit another song on that I want to fit on? So that was always a when I made mixtapes, and my peak period for making mixtapes, I would say, was the late 90s through to, say, the mid-aughts. And when I look back on the songs that I shortlisted for my mixtape, it was heavy in that space. And I think that's probably more about the fact that one of the major decisions I made when I was putting this mixtape together was, what were the songs on mixtapes that I made previously? What were the songs that I gravitated towards? What were the songs that made me go, I can't wait to get to track 8 because that song's fucking, that's really cool. And then I made a mixtape out of all of the songs that made me feel like that. So for me, when I look back on this, it's a little bit of a music history, but it's a potted history, because there are certain areas and genres and periods that are not represented, like the entire 1980s. What I always found with mixtapes was that if you were listening to music in the 90s and noughts, 60s and 70s stuff actually melded quite well with that, because the influence was similar, particularly with the new rock stuff. Yep. of the early aughts. But for whatever reason, the 80s were kind of a cul-de-sac. That kind of very produced hair metal stuff, even if it was like fucking ZZ Top, for example, it just didn't meld well enough for it to actually sequence.
It was such of its time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I looked at a couple of 80s songs and I just couldn't.
You have to make an 80s mixtape for that to work. Because it all has to be in its own context. And that's the thing. It's really hard to make a mixtape.
Mixtapes are fucking awesome.
It's really hard to make a mixtape that has no bounds, because all of the mixtapes I made previously had a theme or a context or an idea or set parameters on them that said, right, you're having bands or albums or artists who are from here to here in time, or who are doing this or are this, or were released in the last year or so. But just having no parameters on it is actually quite challenging, because then you've got, it's a little bit like having all of Spotify to pick a mixtape from.
Mm.
So it's...
Yeah, it can be almost overwhelming, can't it?
Yes, it's a blessing and a curse almost. So with my mixtape, I've noticed that with the final listing, and I used every minute that was available to me, I've used 79 minutes and probably change. Of the 80 minutes of the CDR, the predominance of stuff that was in the period that I was making mixtapes because of the fact that it's effectively the edited highlights of all the mixtapes that I made in that period. There tends to be a compromise towards shorter songs because you'll go, I really need that song from, like, this afternoon. I had it all done, and then I went, fuck, I haven't got any Veruca Salt. How am I going to fit some Veruca Salt in? So I had to take a song out and then find another band and find a shorter song by them that was almost as good as the original song I picked. And these are not compromises that you've made, because you've gone, I just want the songs that I want and I don't want any others. And that's a very different artistic concept. And what it means is there's no long songs in my album at all, which means that entire artists have been chucked out. Like, most of the metal, there's pretty much no metal. The most metal thing in there is...
You can't have a 12-minute indulgent metal song.
Like Metallica, Monster Magnet, Sabbath, forget about that. One of my favourite mixtapes opens with Where It's At by Beck, but that goes for like 5.5 minutes. I'm just... ain't nobody got time for that. So that's not in.
So you've gone for, it's not quality over quantity, but it's quantity over quality because, you know.
It's quantity.
Sure. It's quantity,
it's quantity is the first measure.
You basically sort of put limitations on yourself, I guess.
It's quality in the context of quantity, I think we'll go with. Because sometimes we've had to, like, take a 3-minute song or a 4.5-minute song. So sometimes you've had to step down from your favourite track by a band to the second favourite track from a by band just to make the space to fit another act in. And you can keep doing this. But I will say that one of my favourite mixtapes of all time, and I've probably talked about this on the podcast before, was a mixtape called Short Attention Span, where none of the songs were more than 2.5 minutes long. And there were like 33 songs on it. And it was so much fun because you could get so much variation in that kind of song length. There was quite a lot of punky thrash stuff, but it was actually a lot of fun. And then I did a couple of sequels to that. Obviously, we end up with a lot of difficult cuts. Because my plan is, you get all the songs that you just... I pretty much went for the... Pick all the songs that you like the most in the world. And the ones that you've worked previously in mixtapes. One per artist, obviously, because that seems to be a standard rule. And then you end up with like... an hour and 40 or 50 or something. And then you got to make some fucking vicious cuts. So one of the more difficult cuts was actually, I wanted to open with Bug Powder Dust because I think I like that. I think it's time to.
It's a good opening.
It's a really good opening. The only reason I was able to justify cutting it was the fact that it turns up every second or third week on the Balls podcast. And one day... University scholar will write a PhD on the pattern of use of theme songs for this podcast because we never seem to have the same intro music any 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think that's also because you just use whatever file is labeled intro and it's not necessarily the same one every week. So once you've got that list together, think about how to sequence them because you end up with a ridiculous number of tracks because I tend to have a lot shorter track length, I think, than you. Artist and genre balance. And that sequence, getting that flow and that variance is really important. And it's you spend a lot of time staring at it going, how the fuck am I going to sequence this? And then you press the button that sequences by A to Z. And you look at it and you go, fuck, that'll do, eh? That actually works pretty well. So I did the ultimate cop-out, and this is very consistent with the way I used to make mixtapes. They used to be sequenced alphabetically, usually, by... it was very rare that I'd actually physically go and go, right, no, I'm going to...
Oh, really?
Yeah, really rare. Because you're dealing with... Because I would like 20, 25 to 30 tracks on an album.
Yeah, I could not help but curate. I had to curate. That would drive me insane.
Well, no, what I would do is I would play around with a couple of different variables, which were alphabetically by artist, alphabetically by track, alphabetically by various other things, by track length. You know, the short attention spans were actually done by track length. They went by shortest to longest. But what I found was that with the grouping I had, and it depends on the grouping you've got, the alphabetical by track gave me a good balance. It actually gave me a really interesting sequence that I was that I could work with. So so that's really what I worked with. So that gives me it's Dr. Wise mixtape on the Balls Podcast's Twitter Spotify account. And it opens with a flurry. It opens with Ace of Spades by Motorhead, which is a little bit like you were suggesting. It's a statement of intent. It's a, we're here, this is what we're about. I noticed that none of the songs that you're on your playlist are any older than your interest in music, you, apart from Nancy Sinatra. Is that true?
Yeah, well,
pretty much
so.
Everything,
yeah,
everything probably... that you've got is basically in period. Most of what I've got is in period, but there is a, there are a couple of reaches back to time previous. The second track of mine is the most important song I've ever listened to, which is the live version of Back in Black. That song is responsible for my interest in rock and roll, as near as I can tell. And it was played to me by a friend in a... from the tape deck of a Nissan Pentaro wagon on a street at night in Lismore, probably 22 something years ago and change. And just the force and the splendour of Back in Black being played live made me want to read it, want to discover more about AC/DC, more about rock and metal and punk. And the entire journey I've had to be interested in music has kind of come from the live version of Back in Black from the 1991 live album. And then there's a complete sea change to a couple of indies 90s tracks, which is Black Umbrella by Even, which is
Even, good band.
A song that's always kind of hung with me. And The Breeders' Cannonball, which is... in that kind of your favourite band Charlie Bliss, it's in that kind of Charlie Bliss space. The most
much better song.
The most recent, so there was a little bit of a sea change in the 90s indie there, and then track five is the most recent song on the list, which is interesting because I haven't. I mean, if you look at it, there's probably songs from the 60s right through to the two or three years ago, but I couldn't find room for anything that's been made since we started making the podcast, and I noticed that you couldn't either. Is that true?
Just trying to think how old Partition is. Well, Jungle's definitely
was that of Lemonade? Yeah.
No, the album before, I think. Jungle might be just before we did the podcast, but it's not old enough to be a classic.
Yeah, so it's in the 5-year window. So the newest song...
No, Long Live the Chief, sorry. Long Live the Chief's only a year and a half old.
Oh, and who was that by?
Jidenna.
The people you can't pronounce. The dude who did the one good track. So the most recent song I have is from 2014. It was by a band called Royal Blood. This from an album called Royal Blood, and the song is called Figure It Out, and it has a really cool film clip, but it also has a fucking tremendous riff. So that's the most common recent thing I have. Then we get into Get Loose by the D4, which is off their first album, which is newly available on Spotify. When we did them as a classic album, it wasn't, and we had to do their second album, which wasn't as good. The D4 have reformed briefly and are touring New Zealand with the Datsuns, which is the sort of thing that would have made 12 years ago me absolutely wet myself, because they were two of my two favourite bands in the entire fucking world in 2002. And the fact that they were touring together just would be awesome. And even now, it makes me think, fuck, I wish I could go there. But the reality of being an old man with eardrums that pop furiously when as soon as you get any kind of volume near them is kind of disappointing. I can't really get into that sort of shit. The D4 sequences into Give It Up by Public Enemy, which is a again,
I almost had a track of theirs.
But the importance of every one of these tracks is important in its own way, and Public Enemy's Give It Up is important to me because it's the first aggressive American hip hop song that I totally loved. I mean, I really like Run DMC. I mean, I like the Beastie Boys, but we're talking about someone who was like 10 years old at the time. When Give It Up came out, it was like 93, 94. I was much more, you know, obviously further down the path. I was like, fuck, this is something I actually want. I should spend more time getting into. In that era, the only way to get into it was actually go to the shops and buy it. And I lived in the country. They didn't necessarily even stock the shit. If the Spotify era was around there, obviously I would have gone on a deep dive, but tremendous, tremendous fucking song, riff, message, rapping. It's a reminder of how good Chuck D was, you know, even if it was fucking 20 plus years ago. Hard Row by the Black Keys. Complete fucking left turn into I Sucked a Lot of Cock to Get Where I Am by Regurgitated, just because it's such a wonderful sing-along song. You know, you need a song that you can sing along to, and that's mine. Album track by Reef called I Would Have Left You. That Reef album's on Spotify too now. It wasn't on Spotify last year when we tried to do it as a classic album. Fucking useless. Album track by The Hives, called Inspection by 1999. Cover of Kick Out the Jams by The Presidents. So this is kind of a short, sharp, punchy fucking thrash session in this kind of middle section. Killing Floor by Jimi Hendrix, which is a BBC Sessions thing. And the live version of La La Land by Sheehad. I don't have a lot of live music apart from, unless you count the BBC Sessions stuff. And also not a lot of old man stuff. I mean, there's some Hendrix and there's some Zeppelin, but it tends to be of that. As I said, it tends to be of that kind of 2000, 2005, bit of 90s stuff. But and none of the 80s. There's nothing from the 80s. Messing Around by the Datsuns, Pretty Vacant by the Sex Pistols, which I think is probably the greatest riff in the world. As it's also the same riff from Jumpin' Jack Flash, which I left off from the Rolling Stones, and Shoot the Thrill by AC/DC. Purple Haze, not by Hendrix, but by Groove Armada. I did consider the Hendrix version, but I thought I'd give him Killing Floor instead.
Yeah, you really like that that second big Groove Armada album, don't you?
Oh, I like that song off it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I like it. Run Like a Gun by Rocket Science, Sabotage by the Beasties, Shake It by the Casanovas, Melbourne band, who clearly listen to a lot of 70s AC/DC. Each of these bands is important in their own way, but the Casanovas were a band I was massively into in sort of the early aughts. I actually wanted to put their song Nasty on there, which sounded so much like 1975 AC/DC, it's not funny. But I ran out of space, so it ended up being Shake It, which was actually the biggest single. Take It Off by the Donners, who were fucking tremendous live. The Led Zeppelin song I have on here is The Girl I Love, She Got Long Black Wavy Hair, which is off their BBC Sessions soundtrack. It is just a grotty old blues song, but it's just really important to them. Lost Art of Keeping a Secret by the Queens of the Stone Age, which is one of my favourite songs in the world, which is why it's on this album. The Nihilist Agami by Turbo Negro. I had to rush to try and squeeze some Veruca Salt in there when I realised today that I didn't have any. Well, very late this evening that I didn't have any, so I've got Volcano Girls off their At Arms and Hold You album. And to finish off, as a final middle finger out the car window as you scale off out the window, as you scale off down the road. When My Baby Smiles at Me, I Go to Rehab by Frenzel Ron off their 2011 album Smoko at the Pet Food Factory. All of them were pretty much all of them were from classic albums that we reviewed on the show. But also, secondly, most of them were stars of previous mixtapes that I made. So it's much more of a grab bag, but I have a shorter attention span than you. So I didn't sequence them in clumps in the same way that you did, because I would have got bored halfway through that clump and wanted to move on to the next thing.
Yeah, I really like that curation aspect of it. There was I really wanted to put a song from the Rage Against the Machine covers.
Me too, but they're all too long.
they are long, but I had the space.
Farm is like 6 minutes long. That's my favourite one.
And you could
fit three Friends of Rum songs in for 6 minutes. What are you doing? You're not getting value.
None of those songs are upbeat enough to put into that. You know, like the slot there would have been straight after Spiderbait, and I think that the drop would have been too much.
Well, it depends what you're looking, because the would you be going for the more groovy, groovy isn't the right word, but you know those kind of groove bass songs that are really based on that fucking that bottom end, that bass, or are you going to go for the ones that are a bit more upbeat?
Yeah, I don't know. I just got the feeling that it just wouldn't fit what I wanted to do.
Which would you have picked?
I think The Ghost of Tom Joad is my favourite song of that album.
That is more a slow rocker than anything.
Yeah, I know. And I just...
See, I'll be, even if though I, deep, time Deeper Water unlimited, is... I'd go for Maggie's Farm. But if time is limited, you'd go for... I don't know, something like Pistol Grip Pump, maybe.
Yeah, Pistol Grip Pump's pretty
pump
good.
Pump on my lap at all times. They can be fucking with other niggas' shit, but they can't be fucking with mine.
I just didn't think it felt it fitted into what I was trying to do. So.
No, I can imagine that wouldn't fit your flow.
No. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Completely different approaches.
Well, it's a philosophical difference.
I'm keen to go and listen to your mixtape this week and see how I...
I think you'll be upset with the lack of flow. But the problem is that I always feel if I cluster all the songs of a similar genre and space together, I would get if I put all the new rock together, I would get irritated with all the new rock. I'd be like, I wouldn't enjoy the fourth or fifth song in that sequence as much as if it was a surprise and it came as a palate cleanser after something different. Because I'm always looking for something different. I'm always looking for something new. And that's really what... The origin of the mixtape was to introduce people to something new. And I always felt like my mixtapes were, this is what I think's really fucking banging right now. If you listen to this, you might find some really cool stuff. And then you'll like the same music as I do, and maybe we can be friends.
Yeah.
And that's shallow, but that's kind of how mixtapes have always worked. That's really what they were invented for.
I guess that the fact is that a little bit of what I used to do and a little bit of that making a mixtape for someone you're trying to bang, I guess.
Well, it's funny because I was explaining the premise of the tonight's show to my other half, and she said, and I said it's full of songs from like the early aughts. She's like, oh, so they're our songs. And I was like, yeah, I suppose they are. And I look at all these tracks because I made mixtapes for her as part of the recording process. Or I made mixtapes, but I made sure I made her a copy. And I put a little bit of reference to them and, you know, glossier fucking cover art and so forth. And one of my favorite mixtapes is the, I used to have this series called Festy, which was about the festivals. And Too Festy was the one from the, I think it was the 2002-2003 summer. So it was Live at Home Bake, Big Day Out from that particular summer period. And we went to a few of those festivals together as part of the courting process. Actually, no, I think we were dating by that stage. But she had I made her a copy of that as well as my own copy. It's funny how she remembers and she views those songs as I compared to how I view them and how I, you know, the process of building, because she understands the end product and these songs as being a thing, but I understand the context in which those songs all existed, you know, that because she wouldn't have necessarily listened to the albums that all of those songs came from and
yeah.
all that sort of stuff.
That's how she got into them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or didn't get into them. Or, you know, they just sort of exist on an island for...
Yep. Ah, it was a very interesting process, I have to say.
So we are interested in seeing and hearing and receiving and all the rest of it, your mixtapes. I don't mean Bezos, I mean yours. I'm looking straight down the fucking barrel of the microphone. To you. Stop scratching that. It's gross. I'm a doctor. How did you make your mixtapes? Back in the day and today, do you still make mixtapes?
And I wonder whether people need an excuse to make a mixtape like
or a theme.
We did.
Well, I think it's much harder to make a mixtape without a fucking concept behind it or a theme. Or if you said, make a mixtape with all the bands from 2002, done. I could do that. Or bands, like make one from a Triple J Hottest 100. So make all the fucking Australian acts you can find. Yeah, you could do that. But having one with no boundaries on it is tougher.
Yep. That's right, because then it's like the Spotify or the Netflix problem. You know, you've got all this choice.
Yeah, paralyzed by choice. Absolutely paralyzed by it.
Which is not something I had for new albums this year, considering we're 3 weeks in.
So, at about 6 o'clock this afternoon, I messaged Bezo and said, shit, we have to pick some new albums. And by we, I mean him, because it's his turn. And he only has to follow Warbly Jets, which was my pick for last week, of the last week we picked albums. So I expect this to be at least as good.
Well, I'm going to sort of break one of my unwritten rules, and I'm going to go for not someone I know, but in the wheelhouse, which is one of the Hilltop sort of proteges, which is K21's new album.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Spotify's not working for him at the moment, so I can't tell you the name of that album, but he's got a new album that dropped in the first week of January. And look, I'm going to play it safe.
How do you spell K21?
It's literally K21, just K the letter.
No results found for K21. Please make sure your words are spelled correctly. Ah,
really? Is this going to be another New Zealand thing? That's disappointing.
Why would he be on New Zealand Spotify, given that nobody in New Zealand listens to Australian hip hop?
Listens to hip hop. That's true. I might have to rethink that one. But I'm going to go Black Rebel Motorcycle Club for the other one.
I've heard that's a good album, but I also had someone, a friend of the show, trying to tell me that Warbly Jet sounded like a Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, which they don't.
Okay, sure. I mean, even me with my poor grasp of influences wouldn't say that. So,
well, I mean, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, I own a couple of their albums, and they are dour and gritty and miserable, and that's not the feel you get from the Warbly Jets. They're poppy and insubstantial, if anything. Anywho,
so what are you gonna do? I think we both sort of chatted off air about we might mix the classics up this year. What are you gonna go for?
Well, I'm gonna stick with my gut reaction is to stick with an unused classic so far, and given the discussion around Satan Takes a Holiday, I thought it was about time we rolled out the Hives Vinny Vidi Vicious.
Cool. That's cool, because I really wanted to go back and listen to some of them, considering how much you've sort of made the connection there. So,
yeah, so they're more raw and it'd probably be pulled back from what Satan Takes a Holiday were in 2017. And in a way, they were almost like there were comparisons made to kind of British beat era Rolling Stones, you know. Almost like fucking like Jumpin' Jack Flash era Rolling Stones, because Main Offender has got that same kind of sparsity to its riff building, but they're just a band that makes you want to get up and jump around and have some fun, which is why I've managed to fit one of their songs onto my mixtape, even though it was the shortest song on their album.
I keep getting this mixed up, but I think they were one of the bands that bailed on that, you know, September 11 livid.
I don't think they were, because they were Swedish and they wouldn't have given a fuck.
I
think it was only Seppos that fucked off. Because they weren't well known at that stage.
Fun-loving criminals were definitely
the big ones that didn't show up. They were New Yorkers, and you can understand why they were feeling a bit fragile. Because New Yorkers think the entire world is their world. I listen to a lot of Deezus and Marrow's podcast, which is a fun podcast, but they're New Yorkers, and New Yorkers are massively arrogant about the state of the world outside their space. We know this from...
Not unlike this podcast, but anyway.
We love the world. We know there's a big world out there.
Another massive music one in the books. So I'll catch you next week. I'm interested to listen to The Hives.
I'm interested to listen to your podcast and see if it flows.
See you, dude.
Sure.